Chapter 3 Mad Yajimam Namaskuru. Worship me and offer pranam to me. Sarva Guyata Mambuya Shrinu me paramam vacha. Isto si me dridam iti, tato vakshyami te hitam. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, mad yaji mam namaskuru. Mam evaisyasi satyam che, pritijane priyosi me. Bhagavad Gita, 1864-65. Because you are so dear to me, I am now telling you this most hidden and confidential truth. Hear this from me. It is for your benefit. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your full pranam to me. And then certainly you will come to me. Because you are dear to me, I make this promise. Here, what is the meaning of paramam? Supreme essence of all scriptures. If one is not surrendered by his mind, body, and words to the feet of Guru and Bhagavan, then Krishna will not reveal these truths to him. He must surrender to the Guru. As it says in Gita, Tadvidi pranipatena, pariprashnena sevaya, upadekshayanti te jnanam, jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. One who approaches the Guru with these three tendencies, pranipatena, or submission, pariprashnena, or relevant inquiry, and sevaya, or sincere service, is qualified to understand this knowledge. If someone approaches the Guru and demands answers to his questions, or if he doesn't attentively listen to the answers and has to ask the same questions again, then the Guru will only give him superficial instructions. He will not give sarva guyatamam, the most hidden knowledge. Concerning this, Krishna has taken a vow that to anyone whose heart has not been purified by austerities, who is not surrendered, and who has not served Guru and Vaishnavas, the essential knowledge of the Gita will not be given. First, Krishna told Arjuna to perform sacrifice. Yagnartat karmanonyatra lokayam karma bandhanaha. Bhagavad Gita 3:9. Perform your work as a sacrifice to Bhagavan, otherwise it will be a cause of material bondage. After that, he gave Brahmagyan, and then he gave Paramatmagyan. Try to meditate on the form of Vishnu, who is the size of a thumb inside your heart. Yoginam api sarvesham mad gatenantar atmanam. Shradavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Yoga is better than karma, jnana, or tapasya. And of all types of yogis, the one who has surrendered to Paramatma, who is fully united with him in yoga, and who is exclusively worshipping him with faith, he is the best. Up to here, Krishna has not revealed his ultimate form. He has only recommended that we should be inclined towards Paramatma. Then, at the end of the Gita, he gives the verse that we are discussing, Manmana Bhava. When he says that we should always think of him, who is he referring to? Shyama Sundara, who has very, very beautiful hair, and on whose head the peacock feather is always present. He who is standing in his threefold bending posture under a kadamba tree in a kunj of Vrindavan. He who is holding the flute to his beautiful lips, with the nectar of his heart pouring out from the holes of the flute. We should always think of this Krishna. Krishna has not revealed this form in the Gita until this verse. Giving the example of the gopis, we have explained what is Manmana Bhava. In relation to Madbhakto, we explained what are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, etc. And we look at how some great devotees perform sadhana. We explained how they, by following the vision presented in the books of the Goswamis, practiced sadhana and attained Bhagavan. In the stage of bhava, manmana bhava may be a little possible, but only in the stage of prema can we really always be thinking of Krishna. It is very rare that someone will reach the stage of bhava in sadhana. In the process of becoming a devotee, madbhakto, first there is shraddha, then nishta, ruchi, ashakti, and finally bhava. From this point, it can be said that one has really become a devotee and can really begin to think of Krishna. Next, Krishna says, mad yaji. Yaji means yajna, sacrifice. If one has not yet developed any real love for Bhagavan, but has just a little faith, then he can perform yajna. This sacrifice is a treatment for material entanglement. A verse concerning this is found in the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rai Ramananda, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8:69. The deity may be worshipped with 16 kinds of paraphernalia, or with 12 kinds, or with 5 kinds, but if there is no prema in the puja, Bhagavan will never be satisfied. When hunger and thirst are present, then food and water are tasteful. Food only will be tasteful to the degree that there is hunger. If we are not hungry and someone serves us some nicely prepared vegetables, we will say indifferently, "Oh, what have you made?" Then tasting it, we will say, "There is not enough salt in it." Or we will say, "There is too much salt in it." We will consider the sweet rice to be too thin, the chapati to be out of shape, and the rasagula to be flat, not round as it should be. But if we are hungry, we may take a stale chapati, add some water, and perhaps squeeze a lemon on it, and consider it is very tasteful. If we are hungry, then food will be tasteful. Similarly, if there is no prema in a sadhak, then Bhagavan will not be hungry and will not be satisfied by that devotee's archan. If Bhagavan is made hungry by a devotee's prema, then whether there have been 16 kinds of paraphernalia used or only one kind, he will accept it. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tad aham bhaktya uparitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Bhagavad Gita 9:26. Krishna says here that if one simply offers him a leaf, a flower, some fruit or water with love, he will accept it. Whatever is offered with love, he will accept. In a devotee's heart, there should always be this love that creates hunger in Krishna. There is one point here that we must understand. We should not be thinking, why is this offering for the pleasure of Bhagavan? Ultimately, it is for our own happiness. In the Bhagavatam it says, Savai pumsam paro dharmo, yato bhakti at hoiksaje, ahoitiki apratihata, yatatma supersedati. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:6. The supreme dharma for human society is pure devotion to Adhoksaja, the transcendental person. This devotion must be free of ulterior motives and practiced constantly to completely satisfy the self. Don't attach the meaning to the last line of this verse, Ya Yatma Supersedati, that this indicates our own happiness and satisfaction. Then it becomes the desire for enjoyment, lust. Atma here refers not to ourselves, but rather to Adhoksaja, Bhagavan. We are performing bhakti. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the one to be pleased. And if he is satisfied, then our puja is successful. If an activity has been done for our own pleasure, then we can understand that it is only done out of lust. But there is one thing. If Bhagavan is pleased, then automatically the jiva attains his own satisfaction. But if we are offering puja for our own interests, then it will be sakam bhakti, devotion with selfish motives. We must understand this point well. No desire for our own pleasure should remain. Otherwise, it becomes impure archan. Most householders, while performing archan, pray, Prabhu, I offer the fruit of all my karma at your feet. But what is it really for? The happiness and peace of myself and my family. We should not offer archan with such desires. He didn't appear alone. A woman appeared with him. Her name was Archi. And just as Prithu Maharaj was a Shaktivesh avatar, she was an incarnation of Lakshmi Devi. The activity that she performs is called archan. What does Lakshmi do? She serves her master, Narayan. And if anyone serves Bhagavan in this way, it is called archan. Because of the cruelty of Vena and others, the earth had hidden all the food grains inside herself. She was not giving anything, and therefore many sinful personalities were born. The people were frightened, hungry, and praying for protection. Then Prithu Maharaj fixed an arrow to his bow, pointed it at the earth and said, "You have hidden all the food grains within you and are not giving them, so the people cannot be nurtured. Therefore I will kill you." Trembling in fear, the earth personified assumed the form of a cow and fled. Seeing that Prithu Maharaj pursued her wherever she went, she turned back and said, "Guruji, please don't do this. I am surrendered to you. You should not kill a cow. You are an incarnation of Bhagavan, so you should protect me. Please do this. Bring a calf, and by my affection for the calf, milk will automatically begin to flow from me. Also bring a pot for the milk and a milkman, and then please take milk from me." Prithu Maharaj transformed Swayambhuva Manu into a calf. Then he himself milked all of the food grains from the earth, keeping them in his cupped hands. Enough food for all living entities was produced and distributed, and everyone was satisfied. After this, Prithu Maharaj initiated the performance of 100 Ashvamedha Yajnas at Brahmavarta, where the river Saraswati flows towards the east. They had completed 99 of the sacrifices when Indra, seeing that the final sacrifice was about to be completed, thought, "If they complete these 100 sacrifices, then they will disrespect me and possibly even snatch away my position as the King of Heaven." Therefore, he came in an invisible form, stole the horse, and flew away into the sky. The sage, Atri, saw everything and instructed the son of Prithu Maharaj to kill Indra immediately. Prithu's son fixed an arrow to his bow and prepared to kill Indra. But then he saw that Indra was wearing the false dress of a sannyasi with red cloth, the markings of three horizontal lines on his forehead, his body smeared with ashes, and his hair knotted at the top of his head. Thinking him to be a holy man, Prithu's son did not release his arrows. This is the dress of an atheist, not a devotee. Ravana wore the same type of dress when he kidnapped Sita. When Indra saw that the son of Prithu, having been informed that Indra was a fraud, was again coming to kill him, he left behind the animal and the false dress and fled. Again they started the sacrifice, and again Indra came. This time he was carrying a trident in one hand, a staff holding a human skull in the other, and wearing red cloth and a garland of very large Rudraksha beads. the type that are jagged and scratch the skin. Again Prithu's son prepared to kill him, and again Indra left that dress and fled. Those that adopted this discarded dress of Indra later came to be known as Narakapali, or those that hold a human skull. Previously, there were many of these so-called holy men, but now there are very few. This happened several times, and each time Indra left behind the dress of an atheist. There were some people who adopted these different dresses and started new orders of atheistic philosophy. Seeing that Indra would not be killed by his son, Prithu Maharaj became extremely angry. He fixed an arrow to his bow and prepared to kill Indra himself. But the sages began to pacify him, saying, "Maharaj, please don't be angry. Please sit here and be peaceful. By mantra, we will call Indra and cast him into the fire." Prithu Maharaj took his seat, and the sages chanted, "Indram Yagmahe," with such potency that Indra was pulled there from heaven, along with his throne, which is generally fixed in heaven. As the sages were about to place him in the fire, he remembered the grandfather of all, Brahma. And Brahma immediately appeared there and said, "You cannot kill Indra. He is a partial expansion of Bhagavan and serves Bhagavan in so many ways. Therefore, don't place him in the fire. Release him, because the aim of your sacrifices will be fulfilled anyway. You are a great personality. For you, what is the necessity of killing Indra? The body is not the soul. The body is different from the soul. Those that consider the body to be the soul are atheists and conditioned souls. You know this tattva well, so why must you kill Indra? Therefore release him and again begin the sacrifice." On Brahma's insistence, they released Indra and again started the sacrifice. Then Vishnu appeared in the sacrificial arena with club, lotus, disc and conch shell in his four hands and Indra at his side. He said, "Your sacrifice is now complete. Forgive Indra. He is my partial expansion, and through him I protect and nurture the world. So you should not remain angry with him for stealing the sacrificial horses. There are those who have performed sacrifices with a desire for their own enjoyment, such as kings who wanted to expand their empires. Their archan was based on a bodily conception of life. But Prithu Maharaj has performed these sacrifices exclusively for the satisfaction of Hari, knowing full well the difference between the body and the soul. Your sacrifices are now successful. The instruction of this sacrifice is that puja should be done exclusively for the service of Hari and with full Atmagyan. Then Bhagavan will be pleased. Prithu Maharaj performed these sacrifices for the protection and welfare of all living entities and therefore for the pleasure of Bhagavan. If this prime factor, this service, is not there, then Bhagavan will never be satisfied. This service was present in the worship of Prithu Maharaj, as it is in the worship of the gopis and all other great devotees. We have given an example from the scriptures. Now we will tell a story from our own experience here in Mathura. From it, we can see how we should have love and attachment for our puja. There was a man who was worshipping a Shalagram Shila. He didn't know all the mantras and finer details of puja, but in an ordinary way, he was going on with his worship. His vow was that by 4 o'clock every morning, he would return home from bathing in the river Yamuna with some Yamuna water to use for his puja and for applying his tilak. He would not use any water except Yamuna water. And with great faith, he performed his puja in this way without deviation for about 10 or 15 years. Then came one Amavasya, new moon night in the month of Magha, and it was extremely dark. A very strong wind was blowing, and it was raining very hard for the entire night. The water of the Yamuna had risen and was flowing very fiercely near Vishramghat, where he would usually bathe and collect his water. He was shivering from the cold. It was approximately 3 o'clock in the morning, but he wasn't sure of the time. In those days, there were no wristwatches. People would simply look to see the positions of the Dhruva and Shukra stars, and in this way estimate the time. But on this night, the stars could not be seen due to the dense clouds. After bathing in the Yamuna, it was so dark and raining so hard that he became lost and could not make out the way to his own home. He was in great anxiety about protecting his vow, thinking, "How will I make it home? What will I do?" Then he saw a small boy of Mathura coming. He had a large bag on his head, folded over twice to protect him from the rain. He was carrying a lantern in his hand. He asked in a very sweet voice, "Baba, where are you going?" The man told him the name of his street and his house number, and the boy replied, "Yes, I know that place. I am going near there. Come, I will show you the way." The man placed his faith in the boy, and they went off together. On the way, the boy didn't say anything at all, and the man thought to himself, "Why has this young boy come out on a night like this?" Shivering, he continued following the boy until he turned and said, "Baba, here is your street. Your house is up that way. I am going." The man began walking to his house, but then some doubt arose in his mind, and he turned and looked in the direction of the boy, but he didn't see the boy or his light. Putting his hand on his head, he began to repent. "Bhagavan, for protecting my vow, came in that dress, holding a lantern to show me the way." This is archan. We should have this kind of firm determination with no consideration of our own happiness or unhappiness. This is real hunger. If we perform puja with this hunger, with this prema, then will Bhagavan not accept it? Therefore Krishna says, Prayatatmanaha, Bhagavad Gita 9:26. If anyone simply offers him something with faith and love, he will certainly accept it. Also, if in the course of serving our Guru, he reprimands us for something, and we make a mountain out of a molehill thinking, "Guruji used to be so affectionate to me, but now receiving this treatment, I will leave him," then this is wrong, and we shouldn't think in this way. So many difficulties will come to test us in the service of our Guru, but our resolution should be that birth after birth, I will never leave my Guru or my Lord. There is another story related to puja and archan. There was a brahmana who was performing deity worship, and after completing the puja, he would make an offering of food, and for this he would receive some wages. If he first received payment, he would perform the puja, but if he didn't receive any wages, he wouldn't do it. So what was his real love for? In Bihar and Bengal, there are such professional pujaris who travel from house to house. They receive only uncooked food for the puja, such as rice, vegetables and fruit, and some flowers and clothing also. They then show these items to the deity, complete the puja, then stash all the items in their clothing. They go to a great many houses doing puja like this, and at the end of the day, they look to see how much have I collected, and then return home. So this brahmana would only perform puja wherever he could earn his wages. Once, when he was going away for a couple of days, he lovingly called his son and said, "My dear son, every day after bathing the deity, make the offering of food." The boy had not learned much about puja, but still he replied, "As you ask, I will do." Later, While his mother was preparing chapatis and sabji, the boy bathed the deity with Ganges water and tulsi leaves, and after dressing him, placed the deity back on the simhasan. Next, he placed the chapatis and sabji before the deity, and carefully placing a tulsi leaf on each preparation, said, "Thakurji, please take your meal now. I don't know all the appropriate mantras, but you please eat. I will remain standing just here." He stood there for some time, and then earnestly said, "Thakurji, I've been standing here for nearly half an hour now, and looking at your plate, I see that you have not yet eaten. When my father offers you food, you eat it with great delight in only 3 or 4 minutes. But just because I don't know the mantras, you are not eating. Will you remain hungry just because my father is not here? Then I also will not eat. As long as you don't eat, I will also not take anything." With great love and sincerity he was saying this. If this sentiment is not in our chanting of the mantra, then the mantra will never be effective. The mantra is meant to awake this sentiment within us. And if we are serving the deity without this sentiment, then how will he ever accept what we offer? After waiting a few moments more, the boy said, "Prabhu, you will not eat? Then I will go to sleep without eating or drinking." Then Bhagavan could no longer restrain himself. He leapt down from the simhasan, took his seat, and ate the offering with both hands. He didn't leave anything whatsoever on the plate, and he was very pleased. The boy took the empty plate back to the kitchen and said, "Mother, Bhagavan has finished eating. With great difficulty, I finally got him to accept the offering." The boy's mother said, "What do you mean, he ate everything? Where have the chapatis gone? Where is the sabji?" "He ate them," the boy replied. "He ate them," mother said. "How is it possible?" The next day, the boy fed Bhagavan in the same way, and the following day, the brahmana returned home. His wife said to him, "For 2 nights we have gone to sleep without eating or drinking anything." "Why?" the brahmana asked. "Thakurji has eaten everything that was offered to him." "Thakurji has eaten? How?" replied the brahmana. After some deliberation, the brahmana called his son and said, "My dear son, a rat must have taken the offerings. They especially like to make their homes under old simhasans, like we have here. With great comfort he is living, and very easily he is getting whatever he needs to eat, and he is also getting plenty of ghee to drink." But his son insisted, "No, Thakurji has eaten it all." All right," said the brahmana. "Tonight you again make the offering." That night, unknown to his son, the brahmana hid nearby while his son was making the offering to see if the deity was really eating it or not. The boy said, "Prabhu, don't be late. Please come quickly and take your meal." But the deity stayed in his place. So the boy said, "Prabhu, why are you not eating? Why have you become shy? Why? What has happened?" Then softly a voice came, "Today your father is watching from over there. Therefore I will not come." The boy replied, "Why? You must come and eat. If you don't eat, I will be very unhappy." Then the deity said, "Go over and simply touch your father." The boy did so, and at that time the boy's pure sentiment arose within his father, and then the brahmana could see how the deity was actually eating the offering. This is the necessary sentiment for performing puja. If there is no such sentiment, no such faith, then there is no qualification for puja. Therefore, Krishna says, "Patram pushpam phalam toyam, yo me bhaktya prayachati, tad aham bhaktya uparitam, ashnami prayatatmanaha." Bhagavad Gita 9:26. I accept whatever is offered to me by those who have this exalted sentiment of pure devotion. Arjuna said, "Prabhu, it is not possible for me to do this type of archan here on this battlefield, Please tell me an even easier way. Then Krishna said, You need something easier? Then Mam Namaskuru, just offer pranam unto me. Not just any pranam, but the meaning of namaskar is offering it without any false ego. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Give up all kinds of religion and just surrender exclusively to me. Taking this instruction to heart, we should offer pranam to Krishna. For one who offers namaskar to Krishna like this just once, it is as if from above he has jumped into a vast body of water, which is the ocean of material existence, and then at once looks back and sees that he has already crossed it. Dasashmeda punarati janma, Krishna pranami na punabhavaya. Even one who has performed 10 horse sacrifices takes birth again, but one who has just once offered pranam to Krishna never takes birth again. One will not again enter the cycle of birth and death. One will not be again forced into the womb of a mother if they have offered pranam to Krishna just once with exclusive surrender. This is the meaning of Mam Namaskuru. So Arjuna said, Prabhu, I offer pranam to you not just once, but hundreds of times. In this verse, Krishna says, Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. Manmana Bhava, absorbing your mind and heart in me, engage in my bhajan. At the end of that bhajan, Mad Yaji, worship me, and after performing puja, offer your full pranam to me. Now all four activities described in this verse have become one. With great faith, sentiment and love, sincerely following all the limbs of bhakti, offer your namaskar to Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. This is Sarva Guhyatamam, the most hidden treasure, and Param Vachaha, the supreme instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. If anyone earnestly follows just this one verse, they will certainly cross over the ocean of material existence and attain exclusive prema at the feet of Sri Krishna. In condensed form, this verse of the Gita is showing us how to attain the bhakti of Braj. And then in Srimad Bhagavatam, this conception is delineated in an expanded form. Therefore, the beginning book is the Gita, and we should never disrespect the Gita in any way. The instructions in it should serve as the foundation upon which we will construct the palace of bhakti, wherein we will perform puja of Sri Radha and Krishna with great love. This is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Thus ends chapter 3 of the Nectar of Govinda Lila.